It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to episode 95 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, a betting preview of this weekend's Premier League. Game week 31. We're going to go through about three games there. We're going to go through League 1. We're going to go through La Liga and League 2 in England. Firstly, he's back on board, our card betting expert and resident stats man, George Gamble. Good to have you back, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having me back. How are you doing?
Very good, mate. Probably not as good as Nigel Seeley from Premier Sports Plays, who had a nice little weekend last weekend, hey?
I'm surprised Georgie turned up. Man, I'll press you, son. Well, he looks like he's been auditioning for a little boy band job. I could be your manager, George. I could be your manager.
Be the manager. Well, you're certainly not fit for front of stage, are you?
I'll be the manager, mate. I'm the money man. Don't worry about that. I'll give you a good deal. Instead of one direction, no direction.
Do you know what? Sometimes I come on this podcast, I think, it's best not to look like an absolute chav. But to be honest, it's been a long day. I'm tired. I wanted to be comfortable. So I'm looking like a complete and utter hooligan. So
I sound like Simon Cowell, so no from me, mate.
It's all right. As long as it's a yes every other day of the week, eh?
I tell you what's a big no from me is the cords that are hanging off your jacket, mate. I mean, that is just irritating.
I know. I've just realised that. Something's gone wrong on it. I've just seen the camera. I'll pull them out. I can't pull them out.
Now he's gone.
I just noticed it. There you go. That's it. There we go. All sorted. You're not going around the back. I don't understand what's happening here, but there you go. Oh, there we go. Here we are. Here we go.
Honestly, it gives it the big and about my attire, and it looks like he's got dressed in the dark. Like,
listen, mate, I've been working out. I've been in the gym.
Working out? What's that? One Stella, two Stella?
Listen, mate, listen. You listen. I'm 6 foot two. I'm 16 stone. You said that in my face, you're banging trouble. So listen, let me... I've been working out in the gym, mate. Boxing training.
Oh, you doing boxing as well?
No, on the virtual reality. On the virtual reality.
Honestly, I'll have a spar with you, Nige.
Sure, no worries.
Gents, what a start.
You're happy to have us back.
This is incredible. All right. Well, quiz question for the week, just to keep the entertainment going. What five clubs has everyone's favourite man in football, Willian, played for in his career? So that's the quiz question for the week. Just to I pretty much just reduced all the entertainment. And we'll get to that towards the end of the podcast, gents. We'll kick things off with the game of the round in the EPL, Tottenham versus Manchester United. I will get the odds up on my screen. I'm very, very slow today. I'm not very organised. But I think the big talking points for this one is Tottenham out of the Europa League now. So I guess that gives them a bit more time to rest between games. But they are struggling for any kind of form in the league after a quick start at the beginning of the season. And shockingly, I tweeted about this the other day, but I honestly think this should be against the law. They conceded 3.3 XG to Newcastle on the weekend, which I don't even know how that's possible. And they are 10th in the league on expected points. Manchester United, as we speak, they're playing in the Europa League. I'm not sure what the exact results of that are. But they actually haven't lost a league game since January the 28th, which I found quite interesting. I can get the odds up on my screen as one of you starts to talk about it, but we can go to you first, George, mate, since you're fresh off the break, mate. Initial thoughts on this one?
I'm not expecting fireworks in this one, I have to say. I think the combination, obviously, we don't want to talk about some of the games in the Europa League tonight, but just watching Granada against United, it's a hard game for them. Granada, kind of putting up a fight. It's a tough game. And obviously a quick turnaround for United. Spurs, as you've already mentioned and attested to, haven't got, obviously, European commitments anymore. And you look at the record, United, have only won once in their last eight visits to Tottenham. And I know Tottenham are in dire form themselves, but I just think with everything kind of, you know, all of the sort of different parts and different nuances to it, and we've seen kind of when top teams go against each other, you know, Tottenham, they are still a top side. I know they're sort of in a barren of form. They look awful at the moment, but they're still one of the big teams in the league, regardless of what you say, Alex. And notoriously, we've seen when obviously these big sides come together, as Niall just mentioned previously on many a podcast, you know, it's, everyone expects goals, and nine times out of ten, it goes the other way. So I'd be tempted on the unders with this one. I do think, as I said, Tottenham are in bad vein of form, so I still fancy, you know, I'd lean more towards United getting something from this, but I quite like the draw in this. But I'd be tempted by, you know, say, a double chance. But I do think of the unders here, so, you know, under 2.5 goals maybe might be a play. Obviously, this isn't, again, that I specifically look too much into, but from the offset, looking at that, I'm sure Nigel will dive further into the details. But yeah, I'd be fancying, you know, maybe a United double chance or something, and under 2.5 potentially. I just think it'll sort of peter out. I'm kind of hoping Knight hasn't gone for that, because otherwise I've just stolen his thunder somewhat.
Yes, it must be done. I agree with everything Alex said. I agree with everything George said. No, the thing is, basically, so I think it's a much more important game for Tottenham than it is for Manchester United. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Might sound silly, but Manchester United, and know they're making a bit of a gap, and their Champions League position looks very safe. So it's a must-win match for Tottenham. If you look at Mourinho, he's saying things in the press to get to, against his players, which I think he's looking for a reaction from them. But sometimes that backfires. You know, when he was at Chelsea, he could say whatever he wanted. Either that he had four players in Drogba, John Terry, Frank Lampard, and Peter Cech, the spine on that side, that would run through a brick wall for him. When he was at Man United, he tried to do it, and no one done anything for him. They turned him in, turned him under the bus. You got to see what you're going to get, reaction from Tottenham. Tottenham have a goal threat, as we know, mainly Harry Kane. But obviously, Manchester United, I think their season really, really is coming to an end. I think they're all going to pin their hopes on winning the Europa League if they can potentially do that. And their Champions League position is pretty much assured now. So I think this is going to be all about Tottenham. And we know what Mourinho does in big games. He tries to nullify the opposition from scoring, creating chances and scoring. He'll have a job. He'll stop the playmakers. And he'll try to stop that happening. You know, it's not a surprise that he concedes that XG against Newcastle. But when he plays against the better sides, he just doesn't offer anything in the attacking threat and tries to defend and hit them on the counter. I agree totally with George on this one, I'm afraid. I think under 2.5 goals has to be the bet. I think on the value purposes, I think the draw potentially is the best bet of all three. But really, it's a result that doesn't do anything for Tottenham. It's a better result for Manchester United. I feel that Mourinho will demand a performance. I think they'll get a performance. But I think if you're going to have a bet on it, I think your best bet is to go under 2.5 goals.
Sorry, my mic was muted. You can get around twos for, what do you call him? For under 2.5 goals. And I will get the odds up on my screen now so people are familiar. So you can get about 2.45, maybe a little bit more than that for Man United, 2.9-ish for Tottenham, and the draw 3.4, 3.5, something like that. But don't you guys, I just get the feeling that Tottenham, I mean, if they haven't already somewhat imploded, that this is like just an inevitable fate under Mourinho, that it's all going to come to a head very soon. And I think he's like the second favourite to be sacked next as coach, or maybe he's the first favourite, I'm not sure.
Yeah, if he wins the against Man City in the Carabao Cup, there's a different story. I know it's a very big if, but Man City are going to have a lot of fixture games, a lot of fixtures coming up. Champions League games, they're going to have the FA Cup semi-final. Sorry. So it could be a good time to face them. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. And also how close it is at the top of the Premier League. I mean, they're only what? You know, Chelsea got beat by West Brom. Leicester dropped points. You know, all the teams in and around them dropped points at the weekend. And they're only 3 points off a Champions League spot against West Ham, and they have a superior goal difference. So to think that their season is over and they're going to implode, if you roll on in six weeks' time, and Tottenham won the Carabao Cup and made the Champions League, then Tottenham had a brilliant season. That's how close it is at the top of the Premier League table.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great point. I just, I, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bit too negative on Tottenham, but I just cannot see any of that happening. I would be honestly be surprised if they made top six.
Well, I'll bet you to finish the top six with you.
Well, okay. Well, we'll have a chat about it later, mate.
Yeah, no problem. I'll bet they finish the top six.
I think West Ham, Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool are all better sides.
West Ham, Antonio's out the weekend against Leicester for West Ham. He could be out for three weeks. So that's a big loss. So and they've never been in this kind of pressure before. Declan Rice is out injured. He's out. So you want to bet West Ham? You can have as much as you want with me.
No, interesting. I think I saw a stat that Antonio's
backtrack. Don't try to backtrack.
If you let someone finish their sentence, he does. I wasn't going to backtrack, but Antonio has accumulated the most XG out of any other striker in the Premier League, which I think that's what I saw. I think it's quite interesting. I thought so. He's he's quite an asset for the West Ham. Any final thoughts on this one, or are you guys kind of leaning towards the under 2.5? And if so, any of you thinking of actually betting that?
I might have a small nibble on it. To be fair, it depends. Also, how I'm watching the rest of the Granada United game. I kind of want to see how the rest of that one pans out. But yeah, that's definitely probably the play that I'd have.
Nigel?
I'd probably play it in play after about 15 minutes if it's a cagey affair and probably take a lower price. I'd rather take something like 1.68, 1.69 after 15 minutes because, you know, if there's an early goal in this game, then the whole thing changes. So, I mean, my pre-match opinion is unders, but I don't think we're going to lose too much value if we hold on 15 minutes into the game.
Mm. All right. Terrific stuff, fellas. We will move on. And the first game we're going to look at today is with our man, George Gamble, Liverpool versus Aston Villa. The only thing I have to say about this is, remember the reverse fixture was quite a stunning, stunning loss. That was kind of the start of the Liverpool implosion, wasn't it, George?
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, and interesting with that one, obviously, you know, Van Dijk started in that one. But the thing is, it's easy to sit here and say, you know, they got absolutely trounced 7-2 by Aston Villa. But watching that game, and it's one of those rare occasions where you watch a team and, you know, as much as I dislike Liverpool, everything possible that could have gone Villa's way did. Every single thing. I think three of those goals were via deflections. You know, everything went their way. So obviously it's definitely a one-off. But interestingly as well, you know, Liverpool are the only side yet to win at home in the league in 2021. About six losses in their last seven. You know, but I'm kind of looking towards the bet that I like for this one is both teams to see a card and 30 plus match cards overall, so over 2.5 cards basically. You can get that at 1.95 on Bet365, and I'd have that closer to around 1.8 personally. You know, Liverpool have seen at least a card in 20 out of their 30 matches this season, and Villa's opponents have seen a card in 26 out of 29 matches as well. Whilst Villa themselves have seen at least a card in 23 out of the 29 they've played too. It's landed quite easily in the reverse fixture. And usually with massive, massive score lines, more often than not, it kind of detracts away from the card lines. But despite that, despite there being 9 goals in the game, this one landed quite easily. Obviously, there's a huge game next week for Liverpool. An awful result against Real Madrid. So they probably know what Liverpool are like in the Champions League. Admittedly, they're not the same team they were, say, a couple of years ago. For example, when they reversed it against Barcelona. But still, it's a big game regardless. So they might have that playing on their mind as well. I see quite a tentative affair with this one. I don't think it's going to... Again, I don't think there'll be too many goals in this one. But, you know, Villa have been they've been very good. I don't think any other side has kept more clean sheets away from home than Aston Villa this season. Chances are there's going to be no Grealish again, though, which is obviously what you want if you're betting on cards in Villa's games, because I think he was due to come back in their previous game, but picked up a slight injury again. But yeah, so this bet's landed in 7 of Villa's last 10 games. The referee's Paul Tierney, who's got quite a high average as well. I think he's in the top 3 refs in the EPL for cards, card averages. And it's landed in 9 of the last 10 games that Paul Tierney's refereed, and that includes 2 games that were featuring Liverpool, in which it both landed in as well. So for me, my best bet in a Liverpool versus Aston Villa game is both teams to see a card and over 2.5 match cards at 1.95 on Bet365.
Terrific start, mate. Good to have you back. sorry, got a frog in my throat. Nigel, Firstly, you're going to take me to France, mate. Monaco versus Dijon.
Yeah, we got a few quid last week by opposing Dijon against Marseille. And Marseille won very comfortably 2-0. Guys mentioned about how low their goal XG was. I mean, I don't think they've had a game where they've been more than one goal XG since December. They're rooted at the foot of the table. They know that they're going to get relegated. They're already planning for next season. They've lost 10 road matches, and their XG rating last week against Marseille was 0.13 on the road. Their season is over, and they're just going through the mill and giving kids play, giving them an opportunity to see if they can come back next season. Last weekend, Monaco were brilliant. They won 4-0 against Metz, and on their XG ratings, they've got a goal XG of around about 2.5 in 3 of their last 5. In their last 5 matches, they've kept 4 clean sheets and scored loads of goals, and now they are in with a real chance of a title battle in France. We've got a real, for the first time in years, we've got a battle in France where 3 teams have got an opportunity. And the best thing to happen to them was Paris Saint-Germain who were involved in an epic 2-legged tie at Bayern Munich, because that means their league form could suffer, as we've seen for Paris Saint-Germain this season. So Monaco have been absolutely buoyed by that result against Bayern Munich before a ball's even kicked. And they know they've got a chance of winning a title, which they haven't done for a long time. And I think they'll capitalise here. Monaco have just lost once in their last 17 matches, and they've kept 7 clean sheets in their last 8 matches. And with Dijon, the lowest scorers in France, with an XG of less than 1 in every single game they've played in 2021. You can see where I'm going with this one. I think that Monaco to win to nil. I know it's a market that a lot of people don't get it in Europe, and a lot of people, especially in American markets, they can't get this market. So if you can't get the market, I would probably play Monaco minus 1.75, which is obviously the half and the 2 and the Asian. But I do think that the win to nil was the better option, because Monaco are very, very defensively strong, and Dijon are dreadful. And where you bear in mind that Monaco are 1.2 to win this match, you would expect that the win to nil would be a lot shorter than what I think it currently is. And you can get 1.91 for the win to nil. And when you think about Dijon and just how many their goal tally this season is absolutely dreadful. And they're just going through the motions for the teams that's at the bottom of the season. They have nothing to play for whatsoever. They keep losing every single game they play. And they've conceded at least 2 goals in 6 of their last 7 matches. I think Monaco run out very comfortable winners and really make a title challenge this season. And Dijon are there for the taking. So I think the win to nil at 1.91 for Monaco is a cracking bet.
What bookmaker was that, mate?
I think it's Betfair and Paddy Power, isn't it? 1.91.
No, it says 1.9 here, but yeah, I guess that's close enough. Would you go much lower than 1.91?
I actually bet them this morning at lower than that. They come up late. I think I'll bet them at 186 or 187. I would probably go down to about 185. I mean, they're being bet on if you look at the win market, the 2-9, which is 1.22, is being bet. You know, and they're getting shorter. So the blue across the win market on the odds checker website is there to see. So you would expect that every other market related to a Monaco win will shorten up as well. It just takes a little bit of time for the money to see through on the other markets. But I think that bet there is a fantastic way of getting with them rather than taking the very, very short price on them to win.
Awesome, mate. George, you're going to take me back to the Premier League, mate. Your favourite team, Manchester City versus Leeds United.
Yeah, there's a couple of different plays I quite like on this one here, including a player prop, which I don't obviously go into too often unless I see something that I do really like. But yeah, looking at it, just looking through the statistics, you know, City obviously pretty much got the title wrapped up as well. Leeds notorious for having seen goals in their games, but they are pretty dreadful when they go away to the top sides. But yeah, City haven't lost to a side in the bottom half this season. And they've only dropped points once this season to a side starting their day in the bottom half, and that was at home versus West Brom. Leeds have lost 5 of their 8 games against the top 5 this season, drawing 2 and winning 1 other. They've scored in 6 of their 8 previous games against the current top 5. They've won their last 2 against Fulham and Sheffield United, but you'd kind of expect them to be winning those kind of games, really. But they've only won 1 of their last 19 Premier League games against a side starting top of the table on that day. Obviously, that's going a bit further back, so it's not always too relevant in terms of the teams nowadays. But if you like your historical stats to back it up, there's one for you there. But City have conceded in their last 4 home games, and that's after only conceding 4 in their previous 11 altogether. So they're starting to get a bit sloppier. Teams are starting to have a bit more success in terms of having shots on goal and finding the back of the net. And you know, they obviously played midweek in that game against Dortmund. As we all saw, they're very, very fortunate in some of the decisions that were made. How that due Bellingham goal wasn't allowed, I do not know. But still, it was a very tough game. It was a very tactical affair. You know, Dortmund sat deep for a while but then imposed themselves on City. So it was, they had to overcome that. They should obviously, they've had plenty of time to rest, but nevertheless, you don't know what kind of effect that has on a side going into this one, particularly with when you're playing against a side like Leeds, who obviously under Bielsa, we all know the way they play. You know, they're very quick, they're very good at pressing. And in fact, in the reverse fixture, Leeds had they dominated possession of the ball against a Pep Guardiola Manchester City side, which is just unheard of. But yeah, I was looking at this one. City win and over 2.5 goals has landed in 7 of their last 10 Premier League games. And I do really, really like this one, just simply because of the way that Leeds are, the way that Leeds play, the fact that City are coming off that tough game, the fact that teams are finding more success having the shots on goal, the fact that Leeds have scored, as I said, 6 in 6 of their 8 previous games against the current top 5. I just see a lot of goals in this one, but I do think City are at that stage of the season where they're efficient when they're getting those wins. And I think they've just got a little bit too much quality for Leeds. So I really like City and over 2.5. And the odds have sort of been fluctuating, but I think at the moment is where it's at. You know, City to win and over 2.5 goals at 1.73, I think it's a decent price. I personally wouldn't go any lower than, say, I'd say maybe 1.67. I wouldn't go any lower than that. But I quite like that price. And I certainly think it's very likely to happen. I see a lot of goals in this game, personally. So that's my first play on this one. The other one's a little bit different. So I'm, like I said, dipping into the player props. And it's for Kyle Walker to see over 62.5 passes in the game. Now, I was sort of looking, I know he played in that midweek game, but he also played against, obviously, Gladbach when they played in the last round. Obviously, it was an easier game, but Guardiola still started him in the following league game after that. So obviously, wait and see if he starts this game. But I was looking at it, and in games where Walker has played against the bottom half at home for 90 minutes, he's completed 65 plus passes on all 5 occasions and also completed 85 or more on 4 out of 5 occasions as well. I know, like I said, Leeds dominated the ball in the return fixture, but at home, I just see City commanding this one and absolutely bossing it, regardless of, obviously the game in midweek. Because as we know, City have got a ridiculous strength in depth. It's just obscene. So they can chop and change when they like and just be as fresh. So I was very surprised to see this line that low at 62.5, considering the statistics behind it. And that's over 62.5 passes is at 1.83. But I'm also keen to, because I know Coral are very good with this market and offer obviously a lot higher lines, because I'd be tempted to see what the prices are on say around the 70 mark, 75 plus mark. It's just purely because of the data behind it. And I think, I do think City will dominate this one. I think they'll pen Leeds back in their own half, and they'll get the win in this one, because I don't see Leeds getting anything from the game, if I'm honest. Obviously, I know they got that draw early on in the season, but it's the business end now, and City are notoriously good at seeing things out. They're not the side of old where they could just slip up. I know it's all done and dusted, so you could argue there's not too much to play for, but nevertheless, Guardiola won't let them slip. He'll want to get this one won. For Kyle Walker to see over 62.5 passes at 1.83, I think is massively overpriced. So for this game, City against Leeds, Kyle Walker to see over 62.5 passes at 1.83, and City to win and over 2.5 goals at 1.73. Both of those are on Bet365.
Awesome, mate. Look at him go. He's into the pass market now. Is this something new for you, mate?
Well, it's all about just, if you see the statistics there and everything aligns up and you're looking at the research, then why not? Obviously, it's not something I'll always dip into, but sort of got a base knowledge of what players' key points are. And with Kyle Walker and his passes, like I said, against sides at home, against teams in the lower half, they're usually quite high. So the fact that this line is so low piques my interest.
Love it. Nigel, and I mean, George, you will too, but Nigel, you're going to actually take me to Spain, and then I think George is going to keep me there.
Yeah, I mentioned a game last week in this, as a leaner when we spoke about it, and it was the Granada, the opposing Granada. They played Villarreal last week, and the reason I said it to you was that I've read all about Granada this season and how proud they are in making the Europa League, and the Europa League's going to be their priority this season, and everything about the Europa League. And this, and if you look at their record before a Europa League game this season, they failed to win in every one barring one, and they played a lot of Europa League games this season because they're coming quite early in the competition. And I think a lot of it's dependent on what's going on now. Man United are 1-0 up now against Granada, but if that tie is still in the balance at 1-0, or if they get an equaliser, they will not care a tuppence halfpenny about the game against Valladolid at the weekend. It's been the case all the way. I mean, last week against Villarreal, they put out a reserve side. They got battered 3-0, and the money come from on the off. Money come from Villarreal, and Villarreal put out a reserve team or rested a lot of players because they were playing in the Europa League as well. This match here, there's a couple of other reasons why. Valladolid are desperate for points at the bottom of the table. And they're not bad. Their performances in recent weeks have been quite good. I mean, they've lost two of their last three matches at home, but their two losses were against Real Madrid and Barcelona. And they got beat 1-0, and they played well. They played okay. They defended well, and they gave some scary moments for those two giants as well. The other thing is that Granada's performance levels have dropped massively. At the start of the season, they were performing a side to sort of Champions League, Europa League. Now they're relegation in their performance levels. That's how bad they've dropped. And despite being in the top half of the table, they have the worst away record in La Liga. They haven't won away from home in 4 months. And if these players are in with any kind of shout, or even if they're not, and just going to Old Trafford to play Manchester United for a club like Granada will mean absolutely everything. And I bet them this morning at 2:20, Valladolid at 2:20. Just before I was coming, I saw that William Hill was still 2.15. I will guarantee you I'm certain that they will start odds on. So I think there'd be 1.95, 1.9, something like that. I think the money will come from, and especially if they can get an equaliser in this game. If they go 1-1 and the game's alive, then they will not care. They've got nothing to play for in Spain at all. Their season is all about the Europa League, and if they think they've got a chance of giving Man United a game, they will rest virtually everyone in that outfield and in that team. And Valladolid need the points. Their bottom of the table need the points.
What do you make of it as well? And obviously, because Granada, I know in this game, they're missing, what is it, 5 or 6 players potentially? In terms of obviously trying to nurse them back, will they get any minutes at all just to try and get a bit of fitness before that game? Or
Possibly. I mean, a couple of them are out for longer if you look at the injuries. A couple of them are going to be out longer than we. But They probably will give the players, but I just don't think the motivation's there. I mean, I said to Alex last week, Granada's like one of the biggest fairy tale stories in Spain this year. It's the first time they played in European football. The owner can't believe how lucky he is to be playing in the Europa League, and their whole season has been on this competition. You can see by their performance levels that have been dropping and dropping and dropping week in and week out, and dropping every time before they play a Europa League game. And for these players to go, I know there's a couple of like Kennedy who plays for them, who's at Chelsea. There's a lot of them, but a lot of these young Spanish players to go to play at Old Trafford will be the biggest game of their career. And I think the motivation is seriously lacking from them. And Valladolid will have everything to play for, and then you throw in the fact that they're in the top half of the table, but they've got the worst away record in Spain. I think that at odds against 2.15 is too big.
Yeah, well, I just had a quick look, and you can get 2.15 at many, many bookies. Pinnacle's still at 2.15, and William Hill, like you said before. So, yeah, hopefully by the time this comes out, people will still be able to snap up those prices.
They're 1-0 now with 15 minutes to go. The only way that price will probably go against us is if Man United scored two late goals here. Now, if Man United wins 3-0 in this first leg, then basically the tie's over and they might think, oh, okay. But I think if they go out of Europe, I also think that they've played a lot of football, Granada, a lot of football this season. And I feel that they're running on empty. And I feel that if they get beat in Europe, I think they'll think the season's over anyway. And I think they'll just ease up domestically.
Awesome stuff, mate. Getafe versus Cadiz, Mr. Gamble.
Yes, mate. My favourite Spanish team, purely for just how absolutely mental they are. So, as you can imagine, with Getafe, it's a card-based bet. They're playing at home to Cadiz. It's been a pretty torrid season for Getafe, to be fair. You know, last season, obviously, they were fighting nearer towards the top, whereas now their aim is making sure that they don't get dragged into that relegation battle. So they're at home, like I said, they're at home to Cadiz. They actually won the reverse fixture of this one by 2-0. But looking at the statistics of the, you know, cards, Getafe have seen 30 plus booking points in 21 out of 29 La Liga games this season, and in 11 out of 15 home La Liga matches as well. They commit the highest fouls per game overall, committing around 17 fouls per game. They're also averaging 1.3 first half cards per game when playing at home this season as well. In that reverse fixture too, Getafe saw 70 booking points. It was a fun game to watch from a card standpoint anyway. And in that fixture, the exact same bet that I'm going to go for had landed by the 42nd minute. But yeah, Cadiz are the seventh most fouled side away from home in La Liga this season, winning approximately 13.2 fouls per game. The referee is, I've got to try and pronounce this one, is Ricardo de Burgos Bengoetxea. So we'll go with that. He averages just shy of 5 cards per game. He actually showed Getafe 40 booking points in the last game he officiated for them. But yeah, just 2 points are separating these sides. So Cadiz are currently 8 points clear of the drop. Meanwhile, Getafe are just 6 points clear with 9 games to go. So, you know, there is a very real risk of getting dragged into that relegation scrap. And both of these sides will do whatever they can to get away from it. So this game is massive because whoever takes the points, obviously, it really contributes towards that and hopefully sees them steer clear of that drop. But yeah, so the bet that I'm going to go with is Getafe to see 3+ cards, so get 30 plus booking points in the game. Getafe to see a card in the first half, but just because price wise it wasn't great, I really also like just for there to be a goal in the game. You know, combined, these sides have only seen 6 0-0 draws in 58 games. Like I said, the reverse fixture, Getafe won 2-0. It is going to be a fairly tight game, but I do feel that, you know, Getafe defensively, you know, there's a reason they commit so many fouls, and it's because at the back they're not very organised. Cadiz games see a lot of goals themselves too, so there's no way I see this finishing goalless, regardless of how tight it is. But I do see this one being a bit of a scrap, and when Getafe are involved in a game, there's a scrap. They see cards, so I think Ricardo de Burgos is going to be a busy man. So for 2.25 for Getafe to see 3+ cards, see a first half card, and there to be a goal in the game is overpriced in my opinion. I think it should be closer to evens. So yeah, so that bet 3+ cards for Getafe, first half card for Getafe, and a over 0 goals, so just minimum of 1 goal in the game at 2.25 on Bet365.
Look at that, good stuff, mate. Love a little bet builder. And lastly, Nigel, you're going to take me back to League Two. How disappointing!
Well, I thought you liked this because it's your team. Since you were giving it a bigger, they haven't won a game.
I know. The thing was, mate, you've been bloody talking, Tranmere. I mean, I wondered if there was more than one word in your vocabulary on Twitter. And then I've just been sitting there. I've been watching Bolton win. I'm like, when should I say something? And I stupidly spoke up.
Well, you might be laughing on Saturday because they're a big price to beat Harrogate. Absolutely massive. I mean, I know a lot of people probably don't really follow the League Two and want to come on here and see the more glamorous ties. But as far as I think, you know, value's value and money's money.
So I agree, mate.
If we can make a play on here and make some money, Bolton. You know, I know they got beat last week. They lost their unbeaten winning run, but they went to Newport, and the Newport pitch at Rodney Parade is the worst pitch in the Football League. I mean, it's absolutely shocking, and it didn't suit Bolton from 1 minute. And Newport know how to play on that pitch, and Newport are a good side, especially at home. You know, they're going to get in the playoffs. They could even force automatic promotion. So it wasn't a bad result. You know, they were favourites, Bolton, but they were coming in on the best bit of a fantastic unbeaten record. The one thing about Bolton is they're very, very hard to beat. They're very defensively well organised, and they have a striker in Owen Doyle up front who knows his league inside out and will score goals. And they play a Harrogate side who are coming into the Football League for the first time. Well, not they've been in Football League before, but after a long absence coming out of non-league. And they look tired. They're running on empty, the Harrogate side. And the one thing they're doing is not scoring. Harrogate just are not scoring goals. I think five of the last six games they played, they haven't scored. And they've hit a really bad run of form. And Bolton are still a side that could win this division. You know, they've got the best squad in the division. They've got the best striker, I think, still. I know Mullen's been getting the goals for Cambridge, but I think Doyle's more proven. And I think everyone's made every overreaction because they lost their unbeaten run. But the nature of this league, too, is that you could lose three games and then you win two and you're still back in. Everyone's dropping points. So don't get too disheartened about that. The other thing is, if you could pick one team at the bottom of the table, Southend are overperforming, Grimsby are on a run at the moment. All the teams at the bottom are playing well. Colchester, who drew 0-0 with Bolton, are playing well. So they're all fighting. If you could pick one team that you want to be playing this weekend in League Two, Harrogate won't be far off your list because they're a side that's coming to the end of a long season, a very small squad, first year in the division, and their form has definitely dropped and they're not scoring goals. So I think this is a perfect opportunity for Bolton to get back into winning ways. Now, this morning they were 23-20 with Corals, which was +2.15, which I snapped up pretty quickly. If you can get anything bigger than even money now, I would suggest take it because I think Bolton will be heavily bet. There is a rumour that Harrogate won't have one of their strikers playing. And when you consider they're not scoring with him, what they're going to be like without him. And their squad is very limited. And I think Bolton will win this. I also have a big, big G up. I also fancy under 2.5 goals. Bolton's in the last five matches, under 2.5 goals has been a winner for Harrogate, and it's won in 8 of their last 10. And Bolton just seem to win every game 1-0. When they do win a game, it's 1-0. And if you look at and 9 of their last 11 matches this season for Bolton have gone under 2.5 goals. So if you're looking for a correct score angle, 1-0, 2-0, Bolton would definitely be a contender. But the best play is just Bolton to win if you can get even money or bigger. You have a look at your magic machine there, but it was 2.15 this morning with Coral, and I think that's long gone now.
Yeah, there's only one bookie on here that I can see is at 2.15, and that's value right now. So that's at FBet. I mean, obviously not a very popular bookie, but there's an Australian bookie here at 2.10. So you're saying anything over evens, you would take?
I think they'll start odds on. I think there'd be 1.9 by kickoff, 1.95 around that area.
Yeah, exchanges might be able to get something Pinnacle. I'm not sure where they are at. I can have a quick look. Pinnacle at 2.03. So yeah, it all seems to be trending downwards at the moment on that price. So yeah. Like I said before, hopefully people can get on that price by the time this comes out. Gents, terrific stuff. We can summarise now. Best bets of the weekend. George, mate, I can go to you first.
Yes, mate. So I think my best bet of the weekend has got to be both teams to see a card and over 2.5 match cards overall in Liverpool against Aston Villa game. And that's at 1.95 on Bet365.
Michael?
I think it's a tough one, but I think I'm going to have to oppose Granada and go with Valladolid to beat them at the price. But Tranmere is a close second. No, sorry, not Tranmere. I've only Bolton. Bolton are a close second.
I told you there's only one word in your vocabulary, mate.
This here as well. I've got the kit here as well. Look, can't get the, there's a kit there for the Tranmere.
So Tranmere are on level points with Bolton now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they finish in the first three, you know, still a month in the Maldives. But if they win it, we'd be right.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, if they get promoted, it's happy days. But you know, if they get the win, then yeah, I'll see you on the Maldives, mate.
They're not going to get the win, though. I mean, I think Tranmere have did it. I think really, realistically, it's a two-horse race between Cheltenham and Cambridge now. But anyway, enough of Lee too.
Yeah. Oh, mate, you've never heard me speak so much about League Two until the end of the season. So exciting stuff. You can find George Gamble at cgeorgegamble on Twitter and check out his YouTube channel. Haven't seen too much content there lately, George. Bit disappointing from you. What's going on?
Oh, it's been ridiculous. It's just trying to find time to film it. But no, they'll be returning very soon. Don't you worry.
Yeah, love it.
He's been doing the X Factor.
Britain's got talent, mate. You don't have a nose like this and not use it.
He's been doing X Factor.
What's going to be your go-to, mate? What's the audition song?
Well, I don't know. I was going to potentially shave my hair off, see if Nige fancy getting involved. We could do a rendition of Right Said Fred, but I don't know how he's feeling about that.
He wouldn't even know what Said Fred were with Alex. He wouldn't have a clue.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
No idea, exactly.
Sure, it's funny, mate. Yeah, all right. You can find Nigel at Sealy_Nigel and check out his website, premiersportsplayers.com. The moment we've all been waiting for, Jen. So quiz question of the week. What are the five clubs William has played for? I don't know how we're going to do this. Maybe you guys can take a guess each.
I know four.
You know four of them. All right. Well, why don't you name the four and then we'll see if Nigel can get the fifth.
So I'm pretty sure it's his first.
Jesus. What chance am I? He's got four. What chance am I going to get the fifth one? Give me a bleeding chance. God's sake.
All right. Let Nigel go then. Go, mate. Give me five. Get as many as you can.
I will know five. Chelsea, Arsenal, and I know one other, and that would be Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yep. Two, George, here we go.
The other one is when they pumped absolutely billions into that Russian club, it just nothing happened with it. It was that Angie Makhachkala. He was there for a bit.
He was a good player. He was a good player. Him Latvian, wasn't he?
Yeah, you didn't like him, did you?
No, he didn't like Latvian international. Angie Makhachkala. Thought he was a good player. Good left foot.
So he called the club after himself.
No, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Oh, you have been caught.
He sounds like a player. Don't edit that bit. Leave that bit in.
But no, I can't think of his first club. It's either Sao Paulo, Corinthians, or Santos. I can't think which one it is, if it's even one of them.
It is one of those, George. It is one of those.
To be fair, they're the most famous Brazilian side, so it was. I thought it was one of them. I couldn't tell you which one, though.
Well, mate, are you going to have a guess, or?
Oh, let's go Santos.
Ah, no, come on. You're better than that. Corinthians.
Oh, 4 out of 5, I'll take that. And I still named the other one.
Yeah. All right, well done, George, mate. You take that. Next podcast, I'm not too sure, actually. On Monday, we have a new podcast coming out with a fellow named Jared Tendler. I found that a very, very interesting and fun podcast to record. So he is a mental game coach, coaches golf players, coaches traders, coaches sports bettors, coaches poker players. So on the mental side of things. So I think that there's a bit in there for everyone. And I found it very, very interesting. So I hope you guys enjoy it too. But we should be back next Friday. And thanks for listening, everyone. Do a quick rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen to our podcast. And if you want to place a few more bets on the weekend, especially some value bets, then check out TradeMate Sports and start a free week trial. Gentlemen, great to have you all back together. And maybe we can get a nice little run going heading into the back end of the season.